24.
24, appropriate $110,000 of contingency funding from the City General Fund to the Portland Police Bureau. Amend a grant agreement with LifeWorks Northwest in an amount not to exceed $210,000 and extend funding through June 30, 2018 for the New Options for Women program.
Yes. Commissioner Fritz would like a point of privilege.
Ms. Walsh is about to leave. I just need to note that this item has not previously been discussed, and that's why it's on the regular agenda, and we're about to get a presentation on it. So thank you very much, Mayor.
Colleagues, the item before us today provides much-needed funding for LifeWorks Northwest for the New Options for Women program, otherwise known as NOW. It provides trauma-informed care and services to women in Portland to help them leave the sex industry. In the past years, the city funded the NOW program through a combination of PPP general fund dollars and the U.S. Department of Justice Edward Byrne Memorial Justice Assistant Grant Program, the JAG program, grant funds. The NOW program has not received JAG funds for this year and will be unable to provide these necessary services to our community without the funds we're discussing today. I want to thank in particular Commissioner Saltzman for your leadership in ensuring this exemplary and necessary program receives this critical funding. And thank you to LifeWorks Northwest for the incredible service that you provide to our community every day. We're very appreciative and grateful. Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. I think you well described the situation here. As we know, sex trafficking is a significant issue plaguing communities across the country, and Portland is not exempt from these tragedies. New Options for Women is one of the only organizations providing services to women and girls who have been commercially or sexually exploited in the sex industry. We can't allow critical community organizations and the most vulnerable members in our community to suffer from failed leadership at the federal level, and that seems to be what's happening here. Failure to respond or failure to come through with funding is the same thing as neglect. So I want to thank you, Mayor, for your team's work on this, and I also want to thank Portland Police Bureau, New Options for Women, for doing this work. And we have here Kristen Williams, who is the program director for New Options for Women, and Officer Mike Gallagher. It's Mike, right?
Right.
Okay. That says Mark here in my talking points. Who's been doing tireless work as the preeminent officer in the Portland Police Bureau working on sex trafficking, and I appreciate your work.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. I feel like you covered everything I was going to say, so thank you. I'm Kristen Williams, so thank you for having us today. So just in general, a little bit of what you didn't touch on. So LifeWorks Northwest is a nonprofit agency that serves the Tri-County area. We serve over 19,000 people annually with prevention, mental health, and addiction services across the lifespan. And so the New Options for Women program is a program within that agency. And so as was so eloquently already said, so I'll just briefly review. We provide a mental health addiction and case management services to adult women 18 and over who are affected by the sex industry in Multnomah County. And we have partnered with the city since late 2008 providing these services, so thank you again for that. And what this program, there are so many unique aspects of this program, and several of them I will touch on today, is that every woman that does come into our program is not served by other services. We are the only program that I'm aware of that serves adult women for mental health addiction and case management services over the age of 18. We have a robust CSEC, commercially sexually exploited children service network in the city. And when they turn 18, it kind of drops off. And the NOW program is kind of the catchment for and has been for adult women. And so every woman that comes into our program receives a mental health assessment, a chemical dependency assessment, and a case management assessment by a peer mentor who has been a part of the life, who is in recovery themselves. So everyone receives an individualized treatment plan to help them address whatever barrier it is that's keeping them affected by the sex industry. So I wanted to just share that. We have a really unique approach because of our relationship with the Portland Police Bureau and the Sex Trafficking Unit, where we can really work outside of the box because this is an outside of the box issue. And so we're able to do things such as get women in the same day. You know, we try to get them in within 48 hours of contact because that is a really vulnerable time. We are able to address basic needs, comprehensive case management, so if they don't have identification or birth certificate, things like that, and work with the Portland Police to address their needs. And we also are able to, the NOW program holds the Sex Buyers Accountability and Diversion Program, which I know Mike's going to speak more about. But that's a diversion program that addresses the purchasers of sex, which is that we wouldn't have these women coming into treatment if we didn't have the purchasers on that side of things. So this funding would help keep that vital resource to our community going. And there's so many things I would love to speak more about the program. And one thing I do want to say is that with our data, we have seen, because a few years ago, we really addressed and focused on the 18 to 25-year-old population, that kind of transition-aged group, and we have seen the average age of women in our program go down, which is great. That means we're connecting with them and they're accessing resources earlier, which can divert their life course so they are utilizing city funds and resources less by being in the system, the recidivism of being rearrested, things like that. So we do see that is a great statistic. It used to be 48, 46 average age. Now the first quarter of this fiscal year, it was 31 was the average age, and 13 of our participants of the 37 were between 18 and 25. That's an increase, which is letting us know is on the treatment side that we are connecting to the women earlier to redirect their treatment. And I will turn over to Mike.
So I'm Mike Gallagher. I work with our sex trafficking unit and have been involved with them since its inception about 8 or 9 years ago. What is very unique about Portland is that we do have a partnership with the LifeWorks program. And I've traveled and our team's traveled across the country to conferences and trainings, and we're one of the few major cities that have a team that partners. And when we say partner, we meet every 2 weeks. We talk 2 to 3 times a week about the women that are involved in the program, about the dynamic resources they can provide, and you know, maybe somebody's got a job and can't go through the program they need. And working with us and them, we come up creative ways to help them through and work through that program to provide them the help that they need. Our approach 8-9 years ago when we got started was livability issues. It was to get the women off the street so the neighborhoods, can enjoy their life in their neighborhoods. And our focus has changed because the evolution of prostitution has sort of gone to the internet now, so we don't have the street level problems. Well, we have just as big a problem now, but it's behind closed doors, and the public doesn't see it, but we still have the need for resources like LifeWorks and the other partners we work with out there. We changed our focus to a lot of education, providing resources, and education piece comes to the buyers, and that's that John School that I think we're all very proud of what it looks like. This year, we had close to 180 men go through that. I provided you some of the comments that we receive at the end of that class. About 80% of the men that go through that class roughly write positive comments about attending that class and how it's changed their mindset about purchasing sex. And our recidivism rate is very, very low. We do catch the occasional guy that does repeat, and you're just not going to change those men. But for the majority of the men that we have go through that class, look at prostitution entirely different by the end of the day. So we partner with LifeWorks to put that class on. At the end of that week that we do that class, we all get together, the partners that taught that class, talk about it, how it went, changes we've made. And the class has evolved over the years to be very proactive as far as education, having them come out of there to be able to write comments like that instead of feeling like they've been belittled or forced to go to a class like this. So by continuing, you know, to support LifeWorks and the type of work that we do and the partnership we have is essential to helping these women get the help they need and educate the public and the men that are buying to stop this.
Could I ask a question or two?
Sure.
And I'm sorry Dan used the name Mark, blowing your cover now, so you can't be undercover any longer, but I'll refer to you by your actual name. So we have an explosion downtown of new hotel beds.
Yes.
Are you getting the cooperation you need from the hotel companies in terms of reporting suspicious activity, particularly when there's sex trafficking of minors?
There's sort of a twofold answer to that. The answer is yes. We have several hotels that work with us very closely to combat the trafficking issue, let us do missions in their hotels. We also put on hotel education. We're going to put on one, I think, January 19th, and invite every hotel that wants to come to it as far as to identify trafficking, what they could do, who to report to. So there's obviously some hotels that don't want to assist, but we're working to try to educate the people in the hotel industry how to combat this, when to report, what to look for. So the answer is sort of majority yes, but a little bit of no there.
And my second question is, now that I live downtown and do a lot of walking, I have to say that I come into a contact with a lot of people that in my uninformed way that strike me as it is likely, if not possible, if not likely, that one is a pimp and the other one is an underage prostitute. And while I think we have to be careful about doing any kind of stereotyping, the kind of markers that I look for is a huge disparity in age, abusiveness in the relationship, one or both that seem to be very high on drugs, and other indicators that just scream this is not a healthy relationship, something's going wrong here. What kind of cause do you need to actually go up to a couple like that and seek identification or ask questions or conduct even a kind of a preliminary investigation? What do you need to document in order to make a contact?
That's a good question, and some of the observations you are making are what we're looking for. I think law enforcement in general, I think, has done a poor job in the past of educating officers what to look for and the questions to ask and look beyond the obvious. We are trying to work on that. We hold trainings for our officers to what to look for, when to report. We also are working closely with DHS. In fact, we're doing training with them, I think, in March to help educate them on what to look for in their case management. And I know there's statewide training going on with DHS right now that we're part of because they are mandatory reporters to when to report. And I've seen our tips, I guess is what you want to call it, increase because of the education we're putting out there. So we're working on it. It's a long process, but we're trying to change the mindset of officers that, you know, this is not the victimless crime that, you know, people in the past have thought it was. And we're doing the best we can with the limited resources we have to educate the public and to get them to call in and report those things.
Good. And again, I'm just going to say I'm seeing a lot more people downtown who match what I would say is a suspicious mm-hmm. profile. And it seems to me whatever the law allows to make a contact and then to ask for identification to see whether someone's underage, see what the relationship of the guy is, and if it's not a family member, sort of inquire. I think there's a lot more we could do, and this may be less visible in terms of how we use internet and other kinds of things, but I'm seeing on the street level a lot more suspicious pairings. And if you listen to the way people deal with each other and the communication and the threatened violence and things like that, it's just there's something's wrong. And I hope our officers have the tools to do a friendly intervention just to get some information and see if there's a problem.
One thing the police bureau, we're talking to our training division, is to put together a video, like a roll call video, that we could put out to officers to address exactly what you're talking about. What to look for, when to ask, that relationship, why it looks sort of astray than what a normal relationship might look like. So we've talked about that. We've talked to the IT person there at the training division on, we just sort of got to get that in place. But it is one thing we're talking about doing.
Thank you.
And I believe you're also working with the Bureau of Transportation on educating private for hire drivers, our taxi cab drivers, our Uber and Lyft drivers. About what to recognize about sexual exploitation as well?
Yes, we've had several tips already from the drivers that are picking up women and dropping them off the houses that it just doesn't quite make sense. So we follow up on those when we get those. Thank you.
So is it Sergeant Gallagher?
No, Officer Gallagher. I like staying where I'm at. It's a fine place.
That's actually part of my point. You know, for 9 years you've been doing this work, and I believe that you do it because you're able to make it a holistic and a, in some ways, very positive experience of something that would be a very difficult thing to deal with for me for even one day, and the same for New Options for Women. So thank you for doing that and for your willingness to be dedicated to that. You mentioned limited resources. What more resources do you need to help get the information out to the public about both the resources and the bad behavior?
Well, I think everybody's aware that all police departments across the country have limited resources in the hiring thing, but I mean, Portland is working very hard on getting those, and I think and believe that when we do get staffing up to the levels that are needed, that we will have additional officers that can investigate these crimes.
But specific to your program in terms of publicity, are there things that we could fund in the meantime?
Pardon me?
You mentioned about getting the word out to the public. Are there things that we could help with that would then reduce the number of people that you would need to enforce?
Actually, we work with a lot of NGOs, non-government groups, that are doing an excellent job of helping us. The Rotary is one of them that has done an excellent job helping us with the hotel training and putting ads on buses about trafficking and different things they're doing behind the scenes. They're handing out little bars of soap with the national hotline that go into the hotels in the area. They're handing those out for free. There's a group called EPIC that is men that are targeting the buyers that does an excellent job of getting information out. And these are all groups we work with. I mean, there's probably things that I'm not thinking of right now that we could do, but I mean, we do work with a lot of groups that want to help that are providing us assistance to do what we can do.
I vividly remember coming to one of your community meetings with all of the different partners, including faith communities, who are, you know, doing things like buying a plane ticket to Utah. I remember the one meeting I went to for a woman who just needed to get back to the family. Mm-hmm. So if our new colleagues have not attended one of those, I would really encourage you to do so. It's kind of heartwarming to see a community response to a challenge like this. So thank you again for your leadership, both of you.
Thank you.
Mayor.
Commissioner Daly.
I'm just curious, how do the women connect with your program, and is it voluntary?
That's a really great question. So there are multiple ways over the years that we have adapted to the needs of this population for a referent source. So more and more we have women who are self-referred, so they are connected by a community partner. We have a very robust network here in Portland for this population. So we do have many voluntary people who do come in. Historically, this program was designed as a partnership where the women were arrested and court-mandated to treatment. And that shift has changed, as Officer Gallagher shared. So we have probation officers who, for other things that they're on probation for, identify this person has like these red flag behaviors, and they refer them to us. And also, we have community partners refer people to us. People age out of other services. People come in through LifeWorks is a large agency. They come into other service areas, and they're identified and referred over. So there are quite a few resources. And we actually, the reason I wanted to point out that everyone has an individualized treatment plan, it's not just everybody has to do all of these things. It used to be that way when it was more cut and dry, arrested, referred, and it's adapted to the issue as we've learned about it over the years, and the need has changed. So now we identify what they need. If they really need case management because they are homeless and they have no identification, they haven't had regular access to healthcare, our case manager focuses on that. If they really need the chemical dependency, their addiction is the primary thing, we focus on that. So we really do tailor it to them. And I really have to credit our partnership with Portland Police Bureau, because they've really supported the treatment side. We know treatment is that intervention that can reduce that recidivism. And we're always going to have those people that recidivate, right? I'm not going to ignore that data point, right? But the treatment and having people address the complex trauma that we often see is wrongly diagnosed as some other diagnosis, if we can really address that, then the rest of it kind of can fall into place, you know, as a treatment provider, right? There's a lot of components that go into it, but that's kind of our approach, is we really look at what that person needs and we address the barrier so we can change their trajectory, which then changes how much city resources they potentially utilize, which reduces the cost in the long run to the city, which is a benefit. So,
okay, thank you.
Very good. Any public testimony?
We have Shedrick Wilkins and Craig Rogers.
Very good. Come on up, gentlemen, if you two would like to just cool your heels.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for the presentation. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Craig Rogers. I really appreciate the work that Officer Mike Gallagher does. I've known Mike for many years. He was our police contact for Mill Park Neighborhood Association, and whatever he gets involved with, he's very committed. Mayor Wheeler, as I understand it, one of the places you set your desk up on a corner when you were running for election was in the Montevilla neighborhood, and it's a wonderful business community down there. I do believe that Mike Gallagher was instrumental in cleaning that up. I knew what it looked like before.
And it's thriving today, absolutely.
What was going on. So this one area that I've come down and continually talked about, that hillside, Mike knows right where that's at. And you see that street, Salmon Street, that's right behind my street. I believe it was probably Backpage.com and car dates going on there, you know, and trading sex for drugs. And it was really bad. And I just happen to be down here when Mike's here today. So I always come away from here learning something more, and I really process and digest what happens down here for days. So this has bumped me forward, just being here while Mike's here and learning and listening. So I really support this program that both those people are involved with. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your being here.
On a state level, I want to say I support the Measure 101, and I'm trying to give you reasons why relating to prostitution.
Can you give your name for the record?
Oh, Shedrick. Mr. Shedrick. Okay.
Thank you.
Health care on the Oregon Health Plan is needed. For example, if there is sex trafficking, that person might get a prescription under the Oregon Health Plan for penicillin for things. And that can be annotated if she wishes to file charges or escape this lifestyle. Commissioner Saltzman mentioned about how if they cut people's water off, the children might have dehydration, and that would lead to child abuse charges. That's a police issue as well. I'm just saying that when you have the Oregon Health Plan, doctors can examine people, women, children, and we can get some sort of non-subjective things. This doesn't really hurt the person or whatever. A doctor can say, yes, it does hurt a child not to have enough water. Yes, a woman may be having expenses for prescription drugs from diseases from sexual trafficking. So I want to say it's very important that I think Measure 101 passes. There's been cuts federally to health care. And also, too, if it doesn't pass, I really have a real problem. I'm going to talk next month on water. Again, I can't really believe in Portland or Oregon in general if you're not getting any medical information. And people shouldn't have to charge for this information. If they charge, they may not report it, or not report it or get examined, so there's no evidence of anything. So if 101 doesn't pass, it's like you've got a lot of people here that say, kids aren't getting enough water or women aren't getting enough medical care, and I have no idea what anybody's talking about because it costs people money to go see a doctor. And if it's free, like for low-income people on the Oregon Health Plan, they can see a doctor, and that information could get to the police.
Very good. Colleagues, any further questions? Please call the roll, Sue, when you get a chance, sir.
Fritz.
Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, for noticing this need and getting this appropriation. It's an amendment to the contract, which is why we can do it in one shot today. I would have to just say that preserving the money for this program is the vote that I'm perhaps most proud of in the last 9 years on the council. Commissioner Saltzman and Commissioner Fish will remember in 2013 we were cutting $25 million, and Mayor Hales did not include funding for this program in his budget, and so I voted against it and then had to change my vote, and we then appropriated the ongoing money in the full budget adjustment. And it's so necessary. People ask, why is the city responsible for funding programs for survivors of human trafficking? Isn't that a county service? The answer is yes, and it also does impact police services and public safety, and so that's why it's also a city responsibility. It's not an issue that one jurisdiction can can or should take care of all by themselves. It's not only into public jurisdictions, but it's also requiring a community response. I have previously been kind of averse to the concept of the so-called John School for sex buyers. But the presentation you gave today, Officer Gallagher, noting that so much of this sex buying has now gone off the street and into the internet and into back rooms. The program making the buyers get together and see each other as well as see the women and giving the women an opportunity for the restorative justice of sharing their stories and how it's impacted them, that now I understand is more of a holistic approach and is perhaps even more needed today than in the past. So thank you for coming to explain that. And thank you for all that you do. Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Sossman.
Well, I want to thank my colleagues and for supporting this effort. As I said, this is not a failure of the city. We continue to provide funding, and we did have one brief hiccup there, which Commissioner Fritz ably took care of in 2013. But what's happening really is the federal government is stepping back from its commitment. I mean, I can't put words in their mouths, but this is what seems to be going on. And we need to make sure that this service that's so critical to so many women in our community is preserved. And I just want to thank LifeWorks for their great service. I want to really thank Officer Mike Gallagher for his great service to the citizens of our city and the residents of our city. And his focus and attention on sex trafficking is both commendable and very much appreciated by all of us up here. And I just want to close by thanking Tia Williams of my office for sort of taking this issue and not letting it, the lack of federal funding coming through, and not letting it get in the way of us acting here today to appropriate some money from our contingency fund. She was the set of ears that really heard LifeWorks and sort of set in motion the wheels that are leading to the decision we're making today to step up with our funding. So thanks to Tia as well. Aye.
You Daly.
Thanks for the presentation. Aye.
Wheeler.
Well, this is a great program, and I'm the Johnny-come-lately here. But Commissioner Saltzman, I certainly read about your efforts around this program a number of years ago, and I think it's a fantastic program. And LifeWorks is really one of the great service providers in our community. Kristen, thank you for coming in and presenting the NOW program. It is a wonderful program, and it truly targets the most vulnerable of the vulnerable in our community and gives them hope and gives them an opportunity for something better. And Officer Gallagher, thanks. You're yet another example of somebody who works for the Bureau who just does fantastic work. Often it is thankless, and sometimes it's less than thankless, but it is duly appreciated here. So thank you for your leadership. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted. Next item,